morning again. Members, you're welcome, and I cannot even say sorry for the delay that's been caused by me. Minister, Deputy Minister, first of all, we have lost 30 minutes. And it's not our fault, it's the fault of audiovisual people. Surely these things must be ready 30 minutes before time. And that is the responsibility of both our support staff, first and foremost, to ensure that that is in order. Secondly, is the responsibility of the audiovisual people. Because when I came here before 9, the spy scope was not there, nothing was there. And I'm saying, if those who are assisting us are here before us, so that things like this are checked. Maybe at another level I would have to talk about that. Support staff cannot come together with the members. They must be here before us, isn't it, members? So I'm writing that, I've read it in the management committee as well. We must also apologies for chopping and changing the times of the meeting. You recall that earlier it was after 8 and later it came back to the normal time. We wanted to deal with some of the issues before the 12:30, 9:30. Briefing from SCOA and all those things. So we couldn't get the person to come and brief us on those matters. So we'll have to do it next time. That is why the meeting was supposed to start at 8:30. So apologies, because I think times were changed last night. On apologies, Honorable Monte Kumubele lost the mother-in-law, so he won't be with us this month. By the time I was talking to him, they were still in Limpopo with the wife at the home. And it happened either early morning or night before last. So it was quite difficult to leave the wife come rushing to Cape Town. So he had to be with her and the family. the agenda has changed. There is one item that is out of the agenda, the report by the subcommittee on ICASA interviews. We have to take out that item because Honorable Van Damme and Honorable Jones are also serving in the ad hoc committee. They are also serving in that committee, and they requested that we meet sometime during the day, but we had to remove their item completely for today so that we can do it at an appropriate time. So you won't see that item in the agenda. So that's what I wanted to say, members, before we can come to the agenda items. I think I've welcomed everybody. Members, minister, deputy, acting DGs. I wish there would be DGs before the end of this term. Not acting. Minister. I hope there will be DGs before the end of the fifth or the fourth? Ah, that's very good. So very soon we'll have DGs, not acting. Minister, with your team, are you ready? So that we don't waste time, we have lost 30 minutes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we will try our level best because we have so much admitted today. And the presentation is like that, say that we just analyze the most critical issues of that. Give the members ample opportunity to see from the presentation to add issues for clarity. This is the chairman. I want to also thank you for giving us this opportunity. Ideally, it has not been a very much. But you understand also the load of the work that you do in the portfolio committee. When you started this financial, you indicated that the transformation of the communication sector is a priority area for us for this year. And then based on our interactions with you when we were presenting our annual report, then we have agreed together with, I believe yourself also, you know that we should not include in our reporting the so-called partially achieved target. So that's why either you deliver or not. That's what we have agreed with you. This indicator of seriousness so that then we don't say we partially achieved. But also, the other issue, we are aware of the fact that the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation National Treasury and the Auditor General as well, all they have reporting templates that are used across government, which allows for partially achieved targets. We would also say that we need to raise that as now we are commemorating the 16 days of the Jesus for non-violence against women and children, which is an international awareness raising campaign. And then also that is taking place from the 25th of November to the 10th of December. Also then, you know that from the 25th of November to the 10th of December also it includes the things publicly consumed a media content such as movies and music. Then we felt we need to highlight the following in terms of the quarterly performances and targets. And then it's for the past 2 months. And ourselves and GCIS, we hosted the print media transformation collegium from the 25th to the 26th of August 2016 with the industry and stakeholders as per our commitment that we articulated in the budget vote in May this year. And then we have also achieved a milestone in our pursuit of digital television when we switch off from analog broadcasting, benefiting more than 3,700 households in the Carnival Netherlands Gate. And then the Department of Communication has 38 planned targets. Of the total number, the 2 targets were achieved, while 6 targets were not achieved. This means then, as we speak, the DOC has, during this reporting time, is at 84% of the planned targets. And then the acting DGS representative will explain why, what happened. And then for GCIS, it had a total of 42 targets for the first quarter. Of these 37, 88% targets were achieved. And then in the second quarter, GCIS has 45 targets with 39%. That 39 that amounts to 87% targets were achieved, and then 13% were not achieved, whereas 9 were overachieved. That also has to deal with the second quarter for GCIS. It had 45 targets, which 39% were achieved. And then we have also noted the progress being made by ICASA. As no unauthorized irregular food less and wasteful expenditure was incurred during this quarter, we have also challenged ICASA to ensure that a significant gap should exist between targets achieved and none achieved targets. And then we began to present a new board was appointed and assumed office on 1st June 2016 by the appointing authority, which is the president, after having obtained the letters of authority from the Master of the High Court as required by law. In addition, Brand SA's performance is at 87%. And then we have also, under this quarter, during this quarter, funded 123 community broadcasts for the 3MDG. In addition, the non-financial support has also focused on the governance, financial management, marketing and lack of advertising and programming and content that is relevant, informative and developmental. When it comes to the issue of payments to suppliers, 97.5% of universities were paid in 50 days, and there were 98.8% of the requisitions were converted into orders within the 48 hours. That's the requirement that the finance will continue that. And then, as I mentioned, the Finance and Competition Board and the University of South Africa, they have concluded a content classification course. This is the first of its kind, which has been signed by both parties, and it will open more opportunities to our young people whose curious interests must be channeled towards this important task of conserving social children values, which do not harm children in the online and program environment. Also, then the entity has also nominated the South Africa Youth to expose to Silicon Valley in the USA. Chair and honorable member, I think I need to raise this issue of lack of adequate funding. Initially, there was a meeting that you convened that was later postponed, or a meeting with Treasury. But then, it's a difficult issue that still persists now, because these are the issues that we are raising about votes for 1818. The lack of adequate funding has led us to stop the process of filling our votes, and thereby we have accumulated 20% of 18 vacancy already for the department, now engage on non-financial activities because of the underfunding. We just work non-financial activities, such as entities supporting programs or other departments like municipalities in the province. And this is most severe because then we can't deliver services without funding. And the ministry itself and the portfolio, they remain usually underfunded. Also, when it comes to the lack of funding to the GCIS, also it impacts on the following financial shortfall. Facility management requires 1.5 million, external audit fees is 1 million, and office accommodation requires over 3.5 million. But despite all these challenges, we will continue to have normal labor dispute challenges, including currently the one that is very interesting, the one of the stealing of the pornographic material, which are meant for classification by some of the employees. When they actually come to present, they are going to deal with that length. But then, given the circumstances, I think if we can request the acting DG of UC to present, to proceed with the presentation, then it will be followed by the acting DG of GCIS.
Thank you very much, Minister. Before you make a presentation, I think members on the political overview of the minister, there are a few issues that you have highlighted. One being the underfunding, because I think this is political. We really need to deal with this underfunding in the department, because you cannot function, you cannot provide service when there is no funding. We vote facts. We must take responsibility of raising the issue. Politically assisting the political leadership of the two departments. So we'll have to reflect on that as we proceed. Because it just retards progress on questions of service. So I think we throughout the discussions, we need to look at that. Now we're going to get the administration part of the presentation of the Department of Communications, and then should we get both presentations, or we deal with GOC, engage with it, and then deal with GCIS, engage with it, or we combine the two members? What you do want to take. You can think about that whilst the acting DG communication is presented. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, and Deputy Minister. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you our performance for quarter one and quarter two of the 2016-17 financial year. With me, I'm with our Chief Financial Officer, Mrs. Tikeledi Tindisa. She's sitting right at the back. And Mr. Matope Tusi, who's sitting right behind me, with the Chief Director responsible for corporate services in the department. I will be touching on the first part of the presentation, and the CFO will deal with the financial performance of the department when I conclude the first part. Indeed, we are working under difficult conditions in the department, as the minister has alluded to, especially regarding the lack of funding of the department. But we said we will continue to do what we need to do. And I think the CFO will share with you the challenges around that area. This is just an overview. I'll try to move as quick as possible so that we can have more time for a discussion. As a way of introduction, we are presenting the first and second quarter performance report, what we call the mid-year review. These are done in terms of the constitution and the other legislative prescripts that guide the performance in the public sector in terms of the PFMA that we should be able to be reporting to Parliament. We'll also touch on our commitments in the achievement of outcome 14, which deals with nation building and social cohesion. These are our strategic goals. I'm not going to be repeating this. They have not changed. They are as in the annual performance report of the department. This is the actual performance of the department as of the 30 September 2016. For quarter one and quarter two, the average is 84%. Program one had planned targets of 12, and has achieved 11, only one is not achieved. Program two had 10, achieved 6, 4 are not achieved. Program 3 has 11 targets, and all 11 have been achieved. Program 4 had 5 targets, achieved 4, and 1 is not achieved. And the overall performance, as Minister has indicated, is out of 38 targets that we had for the two quarters, we were able to achieve 32. Six were not achieved, so I'm going to give reasons why the other six were not achieved. So the overall performance for the mid-quarter is 84% for the department. This is just a depiction of what I've presented earlier on in the graphical presentation. So as the minister has indicated, we did not put partially achieved as we agreed last time. It's said that we have done it or we have not done it. Not achieved does not necessarily mean that the work has not commenced, as it were. This is just a graphical representation of what I've just presented. In program one, as you know, honorable members, that we continue to be housed within the GCIS building in the main non-corporate services. We share many things, and the officials of GCIS continues to provide support to the Department of Communications, and I think for that we are very much thankful for the good working relationship that we have with the GCIS. We do have about 90 funded posts, of which 32 or 80% of them are filled, and 18 are vacant. In terms of gender equality, at the SMS level, we have 43% of women, and males are 57%. The fourth issue is that this year we were able to develop a human resource management plan and work skills plan. This was developed, approved, and submitted to DPSA as required by the law. And also we have done our employment equity plan, developed and approved, submitted to the Department of Labor. And also we have also established our own employment equity committee to deal with some of the issues which are in the plan for implementation. Internal audit projects were conducted and progress reports submitted to the Audit and Risk Committee, which is chaired by an external person made of three members. reports on contracts and MOU, legal instruments, and litigation that was done by us in the presidential review, these were done. You know that the department had a number of cases that we deal with, you know, in courts. So we're able to provide reports and able to participate in the court proceedings. Financial statement is required by the national by the PFMA were done and submitted to the National Treasury. The third bullet number, 25% of invoices were paid within 30 days. And I think the CFO will go into detail around this. And 98.83% of requisitions were converted to orders within 48 hours. We have done our 2015-16 fourth quarter performance. It was done on time. And also the 2016 first quarter performance to was submitted to National Treasury and DPME. In essence, what we are presenting here is what has been verified and validated by DPME as a true reflection of the state of affairs. Because all of the things that we said were done supported by evidence. The 2015-16 ANCFA report was tabled in Parliament as required. 2018 draft APP was submitted to DPME within time. And also the 16-17 outcome 14 condition plan was done. And the report was submitted to the coordinating department, which is the Department of Arts and Culture. On program two, which is our core department, we had two targets. You know, in the first indicator, audiovisual and content act implemented, which is for the 5-year term. We had committed to finalize the green paper on the audiovisual, and in quarter two, we had committed to start drafting the OIT on the white paper. We have been able to do this. The green paper has been finalized and the drafting has been done. It's just that we couldn't find a space in the cabinet. Otherwise, the cabinet memo and everything was ready. Couldn't find because of the cabinet agenda was quite long. So we hope that in the first quarter of the in the last quarter, when the cabinet resumes, we'll be able to submit this. This has been approved by the forum of DGs, a cluster on economics, that we submitted to the cabinet. On the cancer amendment bill, we said that the bill will be drafting and finalized with the cancer and submission to cabinet. We could not, the bill has been done, but there is a process that the other department, DTPS, was undertaking, which took a different turn, which requires us to, they are looking at establishing a new regulator for that matter, which will look at matters that ICASA is looking at. So on the basis of that, we felt that we should put it on hold and see how they are going to deal with the issue. And also the other matters we're dealing with was to look at the bills that were prioritized in the main, which is the free publication bill, which was before the for Parliament, and also the broadcasting amendment bill. We thought this would be prioritized and we'll find much more time to look at all of this. So this one, our projection is that even come into the financial year, we'll not have achieved it because of the reasons that I've just given. We had committed that we finalize the report on the public consultation on the community broadcasting support strategy and also cabinet approval. What we have achieved is that the public consultation on the community broadcasting support strategy was coordinated and the policy paper was produced. What is left, what we couldn't take it to cabinet. But we are going to conclude with the consultation so that we can be able to submit the paper for cabinet approval in the last quarter. We had also committed under the Green Paper on MBDA, that quarter one conducted research and compiled concept document, and quarter two developed discussion paper and gazetting of discussion paper. What we find is, as a way of sequencing some of these matters, there is a whole chapter in the audiovisual Green Paper that is looking at this aspect of media development. So it's not going to be an issue that's going to be standing alone going forward. And it's all part of the issue of the audiovisual paper going forward. So this chapter is included in the audiovisual paper. It won't be stand alone. The next one was around the community media support. We had committed that in quarter one, we conduct research on community media support issues and approaches. Quarter two, we said, external stakeholder on possible community media support mechanism. So we have been able to do research that was conducted, and external stakeholder concern on possible community media support mechanism conducted through the media transformation colloquium that the minister spoke about. And specific recommendations were made through the commission dedicated to the community media support. So we've been able to do this. On the web of the Southern Broadcast Production and Government Body, we had committed that in quarter two we'll have a biannual monitoring report on the work of the program. So there was no planned target for quarter one, as it were. We have done the report for the work of the body, and the advisory body had a meeting and resolved to focus on the two suggested areas, on the skills development and the funding model for the production of content in support of the creative industry. The minister also formally appointed the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the production advisory body, as she has appointed them. We had also, under the Digital Migration Awareness Campaign, we committed to do three for quarter one awareness campaign, and also for quarter two, we committed to do three, and we've done 25 public awareness campaign in the two quarters. This was taken in the form of the Easy Visa program that we've had across the country. And also we've been able to, as Minister has indicated, achieve for the first time in the history of the project, the analog switch off in the SKA area that we have witnessed on the 20th of October that day. So there are no varieties. We have also committed to for 16-17 to do 400 reports on consumer access into digital broadcasting, and for quarter one we committed to do one. Quarter two we are committed to do another report. This has been achieved. I think two reports on consumer access to digital broadcasting were compiled. The reports indicate that in terms of registration, 6,000 people have registered across the country. And installations allocated is 19,000. Installations completed across the country, including the SK, is 17,000. And digital assets distributed to some warehouses, 152,000 for the two quarters, which is about 151,000 antennas, and also the dishes. And also about 237,600 set-top boxes were delivered to support warehouses across the country. And the number there is 291 for the DTT boxes and also 18,000 for the digital terrestrial direct-to-home set-top boxes. We had committed that, for 16-17, we will table two position papers under Program 3. As we prepare for various international engagements. For quarter one and two, we had committed that we participate in multilateral and bilateral meetings within the SADC and also within the ITU, which is the UN agency responsible for radio communication and other official meetings. We have been able to participate in the multilateral engagements and presented two positive papers. Those were done at the SADC meeting that was held just recently. And also, we also participated in the work that WIPO is doing on the 32nd session of the WIPO Standing Committee in Geneva, where we advanced issues of copyright and how to protect signal piracy. The next commitment for us for quarter one and two talks to the implementation of two communication programs and regional content hubs. As part of the SADC region, we committed that for quarter one and two, we present progress reports around this matter. And we've been able to do two progress reports on digital content hub presented at the specialized technical committees meeting of SADC and the SADC group for digital broadcasting and digital sound broadcasting. So we've been able to achieve this. The next one talks to our stakeholder engagement program, coordination. For year, we committed to do 10 stakeholder engagements. For quarter one, we said we'll do three, quarter two, we'll do three, but we've been able to achieve this. Six stakeholder engagements were coordinated, engagements were on the preparatory work for the WRC19 World Communication Radio Conference. Which is preparing for the conference in 2019. I must say here, as a way of protecting the broadcasting sector against the telcos who are really looking for to take over the spectrum used for broadcasting, we have also established what you call a broadcasting technical advisory group, which is made up of all broadcasters and those who are players in the broadcasting space. To assist us to deal with some of the study group questions in preparation for the WRC19. That will then assist us as we engage with other government departments to be able to have positions that can protect the interests of the broadcasters. We have also participated in the BRICS Working Group on e-commerce as a member. In the department, we are part of that. And the other senior officials meeting which we held in preparation for the work of BRICS. The next one talks to program four, which is our entity oversight, where most of the bulk of our budget sits. In terms of our oversight function we provide. We, for 2016-17, we committed to do 5 annual reports, 20 quarterly entity oversight reports submitted to the executive authority. For quarter one, we have committed to do analysis of quarter four, 15-16 entity reports, and quarter two, we'll do quarter one. All of these were done and achieved on time. In the sense that any report that comes to Parliament, we have to look at it and analyze it and look at it to see if there are things that need to be corrected. We have done this. The next one talks to the four reports that we should compile by end of the 2016-17 financial year on the entity governance forum coordinated by the governance framework. And we committed to do report on governance forums to be coordinated. Indeed, all of these things did happen in the sense that we held six governance forums during the period under review. Two company secretaries meetings were held, two CFOs forum and one policy regulatory and one DG CEO's forum was held. On the shareholder compact and accountability instruments, we had committed that one shareholder compact and four countries would have been signed. This has been done. We have been able to achieve this. But the issue here, I think, again, is that the issues relating to the work that we must do with the councillors of the council. Settlement government agreements, we did receive government agreements, but we were not in a good shape for them to be signed by the minister. Well, we're finalizing those with the councillors. We hope that in time those will be signed by the minister and the councillors. So this is the overall mid-term performance of the program. As I've indicated, I'm going to repeat this so that we can deal with the issues. So I think the CFO will touch on some of the issues. We're trying to show that we'll be able to show expenditure versus performance of the branches. I think on program 3, we see that there's an over-expenditure in the sense that this program of TTT in the main, when we receive it, remember it was never funded with a single cent on it. Hence, we have to find mechanisms for us to be able to deliver the project using the resources that we have. I think the CFO will touch on the fact that we have been able to receive money in the adjustment estimates, which will then offset and assist us to be able to move forward. I think this one I've already touched on it. What I presented to you on. The overall achievement is 84% for the quarter and for the midterm review. I will then hand over to the CFO to do a presentation on the financial information for quarter 1 and quarter 2. Hand over to you, CFO.
Thank you. the underfunding in the department, it's very difficult to stay within the allocated projections that we have done. In program two, we projected to spend 1.3 million. We spent only 82 in the first quarter. And in the second quarter, we projected to spend 2.3 million. We only spent 2.2. And in program three, we projected to spend 2.9 in the first quarter, and we have spent 7 million. And in program two, we said we would spend 2.8, and we have spent 4.4 million. And if you translate this, it goes back to the 105% that I've spoken about earlier. Agency oversight, we said we will do the 344 as the drawings, and the actual was 308. The reason why we were not in program, I mean, in the first quarter, we had challenges with one of our entities because they used to receive the on the tranche at the beginning of the year. So we said no, due to the monitoring mechanism that we are putting in place, we are no longer going to transfer the whole 100% of the funding at the beginning of the year. We will do it in quarters. And the discussion with them took longer, that in the first quarter they didn't claim, but all their claims were processed in the second quarter. Hence you see the same thing improving in the second quarter. In terms of slide number 25, we are just showing the basic of the economic classification. Except our compensation of employees is at 66%. Normally we are supposed to be at 60%. We are just 6% above. And the reason being that in terms of compensation of employees, honorable members must remember that we have contracted contract workers in terms of the GPC project, and their contracts were supposed to expire at the end of this month so that we can live within our budget. But given the interventions from Treasury, the contracts were extended to make sure that we continue with the project. On goods and services, we have only out of the 15 million that we have allocated, was being allocated at the department. The total expenditure is sitting at 14 million. And that says to us, at the end of September, we have spent the 90% of the budget. And that is what the Honorable Minister was saying, that we remain underfunded and we had to engage in non-financial activities to ensure that we don't overspent on our budget by the end of the financial year. On the transfers, we are fine, and on the machinery and equipment, we had to buy some computers and some vehicles for the department to ensure that the services get done. That's why you see that the expenditure at 1,044 overspending. Because in terms of the ministerial handbook, when the car has reached 120, we must find the mechanism of replacing it. So we had to comply with the ministerial handbook, hence that expenditure, and will be covered as part of the requirements that have been done within the department. And that is the graph just showing the slides that I showed earlier on. In summary, out of the total budget of 1.3 billion that we have been allocated, 1.2 goes to transfer, 59 goes to compensation, and 15 goes to goods and services, where capital was only getting 84. And when we disaggregate funds from transfers and subsidies, we realize that the departmental budget is only 75 million, including compensation of employees. And that is saying to us, the very little money to run the department. Because when you do the benchmark, you realize that in other departments, the 75 million is the money to run a directorate, not even a chief director component. So to run a department with 75 million is quite a challenge. So in terms of the intervention, so that we don't contravene the PFMA and we remain within our budget, we had to put hold on some of the operations of the department until the adjustment of the expenditure of national expenditure being approved in Parliament. We are not going to fill any posts. We had to put them on hold, and we had to engage on non-financial activities to ensure that we don't share additional expenditures. We also have to find innovative ways to deliver on our mandate, and that's where we partner with our entities and municipalities to ensure that we still continue to make an impact as a department. And we continue to have engagements with National Treasury and see how best can we get funding over the MTEF period. We have made submissions during the adjustment budget for Treasury to come on board given the challenges that we were sitting in. And we are happy that we have applied for a rollover of 1.2 million, which we have received in the last financial year, because we have received 10 million during adjustment budget in the last financial year for DTT, and all that money couldn't spend. So 1.2 million of it was rolled over. Additional to that, we have received 41 million earmarked for DTT projects. And hence, you see that our compensation of employees and our goods and services budget will increase after those adjustment budget. So we just wanted to give the commission insight that we will try by all means as a department to live within what we have been allocated and the violence that we have to do to remain within the allocated budget. And after the adjustment budget, our compensation of employees will move from 59 to 68, just to cater for the extension of the contract employees that their term of contracts were due to expire in November. So Treasury has come on board to extend those contracts for the duration of the project. Our goods and services will increase from 15 to 45 million for basically DTT projects. We don't have money for other things, but only for DTT awareness. And the transfers and subsidies were cut from 1.2 to 1.231. As a result, the 41 million that we have received was just the result of reprioritization within ICASA that has given us the 41 million. And that's how we had appropriated to us. And the payments for capital has moved from 84 to 3.8, because in terms of the DTT project awareness, we are spending a lot of money on car rental. So the discussion is that we need to buy our own cars for the duration of the project, and when the project is complete, we will auction those cars and send the money back to National Treasury as to disposal mechanism. The relief that we will have is that this 41 million is only earmarked for DTT, so it means the department doesn't have any other funds to do any other thing except to do the DTT. The projected over expenditure in program one will be different from the other underspending program. You have seen that program two was underspending, but what we have also agreed with National Treasury is that because program three, which they are giving funding for 41 million, we have funded it out of our own budget. We will take our own money from program three and allocate 41 million to program three, and that own money will be utilized to defray the over expenditure program in the department. And the over expenditure of 105 in program three will be covered by the 41 million that we are getting now during the adjustment budget. And I think the committee must take note that the department still remains underfunded in order to achieve its mandate. And I thank you.
Members can, as you continue, members can take that to the side. But those who want to engage can raise their hands and so I can engage the first and the second. approach that we want to follow, and I had earlier on wanted to suggest that if possible, let's get all the presentations so that I was able to engage with all the presentations. But nevertheless, I can proceed if that is the route that we are following. I was saying, Chair, earlier on we wanted to check on the route that we want to follow, whether we get all the presentations and then engage. I'm ready. That's the approach that we're following. But I had thought it would be advisable to get all the presentations and then engage collectively. But I don't have a problem if that is the approach.
No, thank you for responding now. That's the question I asked earlier. Nobody responded. Can we take that route? It's advisable to get a boat presentation, that's what the Honorable said is saying, and then engage on both of them. But if members are ready for communication, we can deal with communication and then with Chisaya later. Communication? Honorable Mutisha? You can make your communication.
No, what I wanted to indicate here is that having gone through the report even before one could arrive here, it is feasible for us really to interact. But then if the other members so feel, we then can wait. But one was wishing really to go on. But I'll take whatever my younger friend here is saying in particular. I'm saying so because he knows why. Yeah. Thank you.
Another funding? Which
I do have questions, but I will go away. Thank you.
Okay, can we are you ready attending? I nearly said direct Donald. Okay, acting DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. I am quite encouraged by your opening comments, and I do agree that we do have a funding challenge, and it requires political intervention. I think just to put it in context, if we are not able to deliver our mandate as the two departments, we will not be able to fulfill our constitutional obligation to citizens by providing them with the information that they require in order to participate in a democracy. So a lot of the work that we are doing, whether it's supporting public broadcasting, publication of various materials, the intent is to make sure that more and more South Africans are able to understand their rights, understand their responsibilities in relation to the Constitution, but also the obligations of government. So I think that's a useful reference point that we should consider when we look at how it is that we're using the funds that are voted to us. I'm going to present the first two quarters for GCIS. I will focus on the areas where we are underperforming. I think Minister gave you a good overview. For both quarters, our targets are tracking well. We are achieving an average on both of more than 84%. So we're comfortable that we're going to meet the targets. I'll just zone in on the areas that perhaps are going to need more management focus so that we can discuss those further. I'm not going to go into the strategy and all of those other issues. We talked about them when we presented the annual report. But for the first quarter, which the data is now audited, we have in the three programs, GCIS only has the three. What we did was we took a decision to consolidate so that we could make the organization much leaner and more efficient. So we have administration, which provides all of the corporate services infrastructure. Remembering, of course, that GCIS isn't just in the one province. We are in all nine provinces, we have multiple offices in each of those provinces. So the administration for us is a critical area. The second area would be content processing and dissemination, and we'll look at that in more detail. This is the space where we do all of our content and publications across various platforms. The third area is intergovernmental coordination and stakeholder management, and this is where we are interacting with communities on the ground. So in terms of the targets, we had 8 for administration, 20 for content processing, 14 for intergovernmental stakeholder management, so that was 42 in total for the first quarter. We achieved 37 of the 42 targets, and the 5 areas that we did not achieve, I'll talk to in the next few slides. In program one, which is really the administration, which is the aspect of the organization that focuses on compliance, we have ensured that we submitted the performance information as well as the annual financial statements, the National Treasury and DPME. We've also taken the time to look at interrogating the risk environment. So we've developed a 3-year risk audit plan. We have not made any dramatic changes in terms of our employment equity. It's still 83%, it's primarily African, 83%, 7% colored, 3% Indian, and 7% white. I think we can do better in terms of recruiting more women into SMS positions. I'm not particularly pleased with that. It's 45%. It can be higher, and that's something that we'll continue to look at in terms of investing in our talent and making sure that we can grow our own people into senior positions. An important focus for administration is the area around making sure that we pay all our suppliers within 30 days. For us, it's important because most of our suppliers are actually small and medium-sized enterprises. So the bulk of the funding goes into paying community media, goes into paying service providers that are providing services for our Inviso and activation programs in the provinces, in communities. So the bulk of the budget goes back into the communities in which our offices are located. Our payment rate was 99%. It's as close to 100% as we think we're going to be able to get. We really, really do focus on this area because we understand that we have an important role to play in the economy. We also took a view that we need to shore up our investment in information management and technology services. So we did a comprehensive review in terms of governance, specifically for IT infrastructure. This really based on the fact that in the last year and a half, we've had to recognize that with fewer resources, we really need to tighten up our operation. And among the things that we stopped doing in that first quarter was we stopped supporting other departments' websites. So in the past, all the departmental websites set up and were managed by us. In the last quarter, what we did was we handed over the last website, which was for DERCO. So now GCIS is focused only on the DOC and the GCIS website, and we think that it makes sense given our budget constraints. In terms of program two, the content processing and dissemination space, Vukuzenzele, the publication is on track. We have no issues there. We have noted in the interactions that we've had your request that we should increase the distribution of this publication so it reaches more South Africans. We are capable of expanding this service, but we do need additional funding for it, so it's one of those that will require attention. GovComs was a printed publication. What we decided to do now is no longer to publish it as a physical document. We are now making it available to communicators digitally so that they can save money. The PSM magazine, we've met the target. We're supposed to publish three. They're out there. Publish them. It's an interesting model because this is a purely advertiser-funded publication. So the department doesn't pay for printing and distribution of this content. It's actually paid for by advertising. So you will not see it reflected in our financial results. One of the things that we're going to do in the last quarter of this year is to update the publication. We've been looking at ways that we can again be more creative and try and cut the spend that goes into all our platforms. So we're going to make the magazine smaller, print it on recycled paper so that we can actually increase the print order. I think the idea here is to follow through on some of the suggestions that you've put to us, which were to say that we need to make sure that we are reaching more and more people. So we are exploring ways to do it without incurring additional costs. The South African yearbook has also been updated. It's been proofread, and you'll see in the next quarter's report it's actually being distributed. The one area that has grown possibly beyond our expectation is around language services. We have a unit that translates content into multiple languages so that we can actually reach more and more South Africans. It's been an area that the minister put a focus on, and we're getting more requests to translate documents into all official languages. The only challenge that we have there is that we don't have sufficient staff who speak and can translate, write, create material in all of these languages. So now and again, we're having to look at how we are using freelancers to beef up our existing language translation service. A key area of our work is to publish content on government programs. So you'll see there that we don't just publish in the traditional media, but we're using a lot of digital work. So we've reported in that first quarter, we had across our Twitter handles, we grew our followers from 71,818 to 78,843. And we're seeing this organic growth from one quarter to the next. So we understand that we need to really focus on expanding our social media communication. Facebook has also grown from 14,000 in the last quarter to 16,000 likes. These are modest, but our understanding of it is because these platforms are free, it just makes much more sense for us to invest in these. As the population joins social media, we'll continue to increase our interaction on these platforms. Very important there is the website www.gov.za. You'll see that in the quarter we published 1,793 speeches, statements, and advisories. These would have come from departments. And literally, this is an archive, it's a digital archive of all the speeches and statements that have been made by the executives, or the president, deputy president, our ministers and deputy ministers, the premiers. And MECs are all archived on here and they're useful reference points. We also publish our opinion pieces and various documents such as those that are of interest to the public. we've instilled the discipline of reporting on social media. It's a new space for us, but we are now starting to analyze the data much more, and we're starting to understand exactly what the trends are in social media so that we can adapt our communication to speak appropriately on those platforms. From a research perspective, we do a fair amount of work, and the one report is called The Pulse of the Nation. This report is used to advise communicators in the departments on what are the trends. We do two of these reports in the year. Our first report has gone out to the clusters, and it's been integrated into cluster communications at each of the participating departments. We also publish what we call an insight newsletter, and this newsletter focuses on the impact of government programs on citizens. So what we then do is we go and assess whether our various interventions are making a difference in citizens' lives. The request around key messages, the target on key messages is a request-based one. And key messages, in short, what we do is that when there are emerging issues relating to government policy and government's position on various issues, we'll develop a 2 or 3 page brief. And that briefing with the key messages just makes it easier for government to communicate in a coherent fashion. So when we talk about specific issues, we know what the facts are around those issues. I won't talk about the opinion pieces. I think you have read those in the media already. The space where we have had challenges is in photographic services. So GCIS has a photographic unit. And what we do there is we provide support for the presidency, the deputy president, and the president, and we cover all of the engagements around the globe. Then we also, on request, will go and we'll cover events for other government departments and related parties. Now, in this particular year, what we are starting to see is that there are fewer funds. We've also had to say to a lot of departments, look, unless you are prepared to pay for our teams to come and actually do the photography work, we are unable to fund it ourselves. So we've seen a decline in the number of requests that we are receiving. It is demand-driven, so there isn't too much that we can do about it. If money is tight in departments and they are not able to utilize the service, we may struggle to meet that target. The other area is the video service. It's an ancillary service. So we send out a team. It comprises of a videographer and a photographer, and they have the same challenges. To take a photographer and a videographer and put them on a flight to go and cover a particular event has associated costs. And it's among the areas where we are under pressure, and it's resulted in us doing fewer assignments. The radio production space, though, is the exact opposite. Because it's studio-based, and we have a studio here in Parliament, we have another studio in Pretoria, and people can phone in to the individual radio shows. So we don't have to do much traveling here. We've been able to manage the cost better. And what we've also started to do is we've started to actually produce radio adverts in our own studio, which it's really been yielding good results. I think the last radio advert that was done in the studio was for the NDP, which we recorded. We remastered it at the FABC radio studios, and it's currently being broadcast on FABC and other radio stations. We also have a team that focuses on graphic design, and we design a whole number of products. But it's an area of concern, again, because it's demand-driven. Those targets have been set up based on historical data and historical performance. But this year, we have actually underachieved in terms of graphic design, because we simply haven't had the same number of requests coming from departments. One of the interventions that we're looking at is to actually go and look for proactive work because certainly there is work out there. We have these designers already. We just need to be a little bit more creative in terms of identifying what work can be done. We also are responsible for corporate identity, and I've presented this in the past, that actually one of the responsibilities of GCIS is to make sure that government's overall corporate identity, how we use the coat of arms and all of these things, are being professionally managed. We underachieved in this area by 28 requests. Again, it is it's a request-driven facility. What we are going to do is to be more proactive, and we are working with the Department of Justice to see if we can establish a team that is actually going to focus on identifying and targeting people that are in the private sector who are abusing the things like our coat of arms for profit. So instead of waiting for requests, we're changing our approach, and we're going to work with Justice so that we can go out there and identify people who are infringing on government copyright so that we can meet our target. The Communication Service Agency also distributes the Vukuzenzele product as well as the pocket guide. We had no major problems here. We've received some parliamentary questions around the distribution plan, and I think we've submitted those reports. I do want to concede that it can be better, but in order for you to have a broader distribution, we are going to need to revisit our funding model. This part talks about the work that is being done in the provinces primarily, either directly by the GCIS or through the cluster, and you'll see there that have quite a big focus on supporting cluster communications. We have developed communication strategies for various departments. In this year, we intervened to assist the IMC on drought, as well as the IMC on local government elections. And I'll talk to some of those campaigns. But what we do is we look into the research that we have that is ongoing to advise departments on how to develop communication strategies that they can implement to reach out to South African citizens. In terms of the number of reports on government communication and training, the reports have been submitted. We didn't do too much work in quarter one around the space because around training because of the local government election. You will see when we go into the quarter three and quarter four reports, more activity because we have new councillors that have come on board, and in partnership with SAUGA, we're going out there and they're training more and more communicators who are in the provinces and local government to assist them to interact with citizens. So I'm not too distressed. I think here we are fine, and we'll see it picking up in the last two quarters. Then in terms of the assessment of the functioning of the government system, we've concluded those. We did the one report. The development communication activities, we did 542 activations. These are across the 9 provinces. And we do these for a variety of themes. So we've listed some of the reasons why we exceeded our targets. To make sure that we could get more and more South Africans participating in the elections, we did activations in all the 9 provinces, and we were targeting specifically youth registration. So we wanted to make sure that we could get as many young people to register so we could participate in the elections. We also had a focus on Africa Day activities around the country, as well as supporting the 40th centenary. The marketing events for the Tussauds program are quite important. What we try and also do is we elevate this so that through our Ibiza Focus Week, we go and we identify the Tussauds service centers that perform particularly well, and we put the spotlight on them so that they are acknowledged as best practice Tussauds service centers. And it's an important area of work for us because we think that if we can take government services into communities, It just makes it that much easier for communities to access their rights. We did the stakeholder liaison visit, the ongoing, said we were going to do 540, we did 654. And again, I think it's in that context of us increasing the volume of work that we're doing, specifically focusing on voter education. We did 92 in Izo. In this local liaison area, we also published a newsletter called My District Today. And what this newsletter does is it just focuses, we give an opportunity for each municipality to highlight some of the work that they've been doing, which you compile into the publication, My District Today. And we look for programs that talk to government's key priorities. And then we share this newsletter electronically to all stakeholders. Under media engagement, this is the part where we do the interactions with the media to ensure that we can promote government's voice. Achieved the target that we had set ourselves for the post-cabinet briefings, as well as releasing media statements in that space, supporting the engagement between government officials and senior journalists. We are quite comfortable there. We had a glitch. When my team put together the targets for reporting on those rapid response targets, we did not accurately capture the number of reports that were feasible in that first quarter. We did underachieve. On the one hand, I took resources out to go and focus on the protests that were happening in Buan, and we were not able to complete the one report. In fact, what I did was the report that we commissioned then only focused on the unrest in the Buan area, as opposed to more broadly looking at the rapid response environment countrywide. So there was a report, but the audit team looked at it and said, no, but if we look at the scope for the rapid response report, it talks about you looking at the overall environment for communication. What your team has gone and done is you just looked at one. So we had to concede that we couldn't count it, so we've underachieved in that area. I'm not going to go into the finance line. I would like to just go to the next quarter and present those slides, and then I will allow the CFO to comment. I think it will be much quicker if we do it that way. Can I go to quarter two? So in the second quarter, so I can start again on program one, which is the administrative side. Our focus here really was around making sure that we could get the submissions for Treasury as well as the DPME submitted. Not only on time, but I think the quality for us matters. So we had to make sure that the quality of the submission was quite good. I've reflected on the vacancy rate. You can see that it is below the 10% requirement. We have a few positions that are vacant, but we are trying to work within the constraints that we have to make sure that we are able to do the work without any affecting the service delivery negatively. Products and platforms.
Are you okay with the data? It's quarter two.
It's page seven on.
Page seven now. Quarter two.
Here again, the only red flag in terms of the content is around GovComs. It's a publication that we have made electronic. It was delayed, and I think as we agreed, if it is either it's done or it's not done. So delayed means that it's not done. Our focus in that quarter was to actually highlight the program of action and report back on that, but the documents were not approved at the time, so we couldn't publish them. But overall, we've met all of the targets in this specific area of work. We fell behind on the number of translations. We thought we could do 500. We were only able to do 417 projects. We've underachieved by 83. So we are definitely spikes. So we have a peak in one quarter and a trough in the next. And although we've approved our language policy, and in our language policy as a department, we've made this commitment that we're going to start working on translating all of our content into the 11 languages. Actually, we've understood that it requires resources, which we don't have at this point. But we had fewer requests, and we are happy to keep it as request-driven until we have the resources. If we had more people, then we can proactively go out and do additional work to meet the target. The updates, I spoke at length about the updates. You can see that our Twitter followers now are 185,000, and we've got 17,000 likes on Facebook. The content on the www.gov.za website, I think it's very good content. I would invite you to have a look at the content. We have no issues there. We're providing a value for money service. In terms of the social media reports, these have been completed and submitted on time. We did the cluster reports as part of our support to the five clusters. We have also reported on monitoring and evaluation. It's a new area of work where what we're starting to do is we are actually evaluating whether government communication has the desired impact that we have designed into the communication program. So when we have time, we'll definitely bring one of those reports for us to analyze and discuss. There are no other issues really on this one. We've done the opinion pieces. As I said, those are in the public domain. We're able to make those captured. The red flags are around photography again. It's demand-driven, and we simply didn't have the request or the funding to make it viable. We were able to recover in the video production space, because what we started to do is to also look internally at capturing some of the work that we're doing, and actually developing content now for a dedicated government YouTube channel. So we've archived all of these into 3 to 5 minute clips at our YouTube, so that we can actually, the public can have broader access to the material that we do. I'm very happy with the radio production. There's no problem there. Graphic design, as I pointed out, we need to work on this as a team. We had projected 150, we did 114, so we are still behind, but we're quite comfortable that we'll have caught up when we get to quarter four. The corporate identity, it's improving. So of the 100, we've done 77. And here is another area where it's demand-driven, and as I said, we will work with the Department of Justice to address the shortfalls. Marketing services, those are on track. Our distribution of Buku Zenzele and the Pocket Guide, also on track. In our provincial space, also on track in terms of analyzing the reports for the government communication program at provincial level. Strategies have been developed, and three were for campaigns, two were for programs, and we've made inputs into both strategies as requested by individual departments. The training, we produced a quarterly report, did an internal communicators forum, also another important area of work for us, simply because, you know, 1.2 million employees in the public sector, or at least in government departments, gives us an opportunity to communicate government programs to them. We didn't hold our GCF, which is the Government Communicators Forum that brings on board all the national communicators, and we're changing the concept so that it can include communicators from the provinces, so that we have a much more aligned communication program. The communication project implemented, that's on track. I'm not terribly worried about those. In terms of the development communication activations, I just wanted to explain why we overachieved on this target. We were hosting the International AIDS Conference, and it gave us an opportunity to do a lot of outreach work in KZN, specifically because that was where the conference was hosted. So that led to us overachieving that target because we put a lot of resources into doing activations with communities there. The Tucson marketing events as well, we introduced additional departments into the Tucson service network. So we brought on board the Department of Military Veterans, the Road Accident Fund. We've also brought on board the Department of Justice. So we are bringing more and more departments into those Tucson service centers. And what we've had to do is to go out and do more work in advertising and publicity so that we can tell communities that have been serviced by those Tucson service centers what the additional services are. I'm happy with the stakeholder liaison visits. The issue really was that we focused on heightening our communication during the local government elections, and we're going to strengthen communications, particularly in Limpopo, KZN, the Northwest and Eastern Cape. There were no variances in the visa program. And I've talked about the my district today. I'm quite happy about the product. I think it's shaping up quite well. The engagement that we have with the media are ongoing. They were a little bit tense because of the elections environment, but I think they are an important platform for us so that we can communicate clearly and agree on terms of reference with the media. We had no variances for the other areas of work, cabinet, rapid response systems, and they've been fixed. I'll now ask the CFO just to touch on the financials.
I think it's fine, I can do it from here.
Can you?
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, ladies and gentlemen. The story that I'm going to share with you is the very story that is quite known, that men's needs are limited, but the means to satisfy them are very much limited. That is the economic problem. This year I was thinking that perhaps we should do the second quarter financials, because they are very much current, and all financials give a year-to-date picture, which includes both quarters. Yes, the budget of the department, as it was appropriated in Parliament by Minister of Finance, is 382 million, and it's sliced into three different programs. Program one, getting the biggest chunk, which I will explain, 144 million, and program two, getting the second biggest, as well as the last program, which is program three, getting the smaller portion. But you can see that it's almost evenly distributed among the three programs. The reason for program one getting the biggest chunk is because of
We've got almost just below 50 million budget of all the buildings. We've got regional offices, provincial offices. We also have our big building in Pretoria, which is used by both departments, DOC as well as GCIS. And perhaps that is the reason. And the other reason is that our IT unit, because we are a communicating department, they are not only meant to deliver services for internal use, but they provide services for the department to enable it to communicate with South Africans. We release stories, and ministers, they usually release their stories, their press briefings from both buildings, one in Cape Town and one in Pretoria. And it definitely requires a lot of money. We do some monitoring, and we do have studios in our Teddy Mosetso house. So perhaps that is the reason why we've got a budget centralized in program one. So those services are basically meant to advantage and benefit and to be enjoyed by the content programs. I just needed to contextualize that. We have spent at the end of September, which is halfway through the year, we had spent around about 48% of the budget. It is below 2% to the norm. But I need to indicate that not the entire budget is linear, meaning it is not a straight line expenditure. There are those that will be straight line and others are not. For instance, we will be spending some money in the fourth quarter when we will be assisting with the SONA publications. The budget that is available is 200 million as at the end of September. And we then decided to also include projections, just to indicate to the honorable members that the budget of the department continues to be under pressure. You will see that in program one, there is a pressure of 6 million. I wish to also indicate that we had thought that some of the pressures would be defrayed or funded from the underspending that we are realizing in compensation of employees. Unfortunately, with effect from this current financial year, the compensation budget has been protected, and therefore we cannot defray pressures elsewhere using the compensation budget. That then forces us to reprioritize. And in our reprioritization exercise, we have identified possibilities of moving 4 million from program 2, as well as moving 2 million from program 3. That is the column on the extreme right, honorable members, which you will then see that money is likely to be then moved over to program one. The next slide. Compensation of employees, as I've indicated, it's got a saving of around about 6 million, but there is pressure on goods and services of 6 million as well. I think it's important also to highlight that communication services are mainly goods and services oriented expenditure. If we go to administration, program one, that is the slice of the budget. Do remember that we are under 50, we are on the 50% mark, and we are just below 50% there, and this is only operational budget. The personal expenditure is on top. I wish to indicate that we will be seeing an increase in that regard because we have effected pay progressions as well as incentivized well-performing staff. But it's not appearing here. It will be appearing in the third quarter. If we go to program two,
This is where we basically do a lot of products, our content, our Vuvuzela is always there, and that bigger portion of it there, it's called the contract there to finance the Vuvuzela operations, including the distribution. We've got a tracker research that is also part of the work that we do. We do our products and platforms, and the DG has touched on that. So we are having some funding, and we will be ramping up some funding expenditure in the last quarter of the financial year due to the state of the nation address. The intergovernmental and coordination stakeholder management, this is an area where we try by all means to make sure that the footprint of the country of the department throughout the country, so that colleagues can communicate clearly and give the messages to South Africans. These are the very people who also support various ministers, including the president and deputy president and deputy ministers on their MBISO's programs as they travel the country to interact with various South Africans. The program, it may appear as if we are underspending, but it's not a true reflection, because I've indicated that the budget in its entirety is not a straightforward line. So it will spike towards the end of the year. The last slide, chapter 7. These are the pressures that we continue to have. And allow me just to spend some time on this last slide and perhaps explain that on an annual basis, when we prepare the budget, we usually get instructions from National Treasury, and those instructions are a product of discussions in the MINCOM BAT, and perhaps a view would have been taken on how the budget of the country which view it will take and how and which priorities will be taken into consideration. I think we do know that the goods and services budget has not been protected in the past at the same rate, at the very rate that goods and services tend to increase inflationary. In fact, our goods and services budget has been reduced, but the reality is that some of the expenses that we are incurring, including accommodation services, the leases that we are paying, they do attract a fixed rate as per the contract. Like I'll make an example. The rate at which the buildings rental have been protected from a budget perspective is actually lower than the real rate of the rate at which those buildings have been increasing. If you look at facilities management, the 1.5 million and external audit fees, those two expenses are literally compensation of employees related. However, they take a picture, or they take a view of goods and services in our budget. But when you actually unpack those three elements, you will realize that external audit fees are labor oriented. So you are basically paying auditors who audit the work that we do. The rate at which those external audit fees are increased, if you look at our budget, it's not the same rate, the actual rate that expenditure that we are actually experiencing. Go to facilities management. We're having our securities personnel as well as the officials who assist us with the cleaning. All those are outsourced, and we know that the rates thereof are protected through the sectoral determination that is issued on a yearly basis by the Minister of Labour, and there is no way that we can pay, the contractors can underpay those employees. So we have also protected those employees, but the reality is that the rate at which our budget is protected in that regard, takes a picture of a compensation, to take a picture of a goods and services budget, but the real effect thereof are compensation of employees. These are the monies that will eventually go to the bank accounts of the employees that do their work. So we think that the budget actually is protected inflation-wise with a lesser rate than the real inflation that has been affected on the annual basis. I thought that I should bring this to your attention. If you look at that total, it justifies the 6 million that I've just indicated to you. I also wish to indicate that we are also having an aging IT infrastructure, both in Cape Town and in Selimo Setso House. And if we do not recapitalize this infrastructure, we may not be in a position to communicate effectively to South Africans, and not only SGCI, but the entire community. So the IT chief director, my colleague, Dade Van Dyer, found ways of reprioritizing, because he had presence, but he thought that perhaps let's look at how can we recapitalize this in the next financial year. Preferably, if we had funds, we would have already recapitalized this IT infrastructure. Thank you.
Members, we have just an hour to engage before we head for lunch. Thank you very much. Over to you, members. Honorable Mandisha, Honorable Dacher, Honorable Ted.
Thank you. My first question will be on the DOC presentation, page 12. I want to know the report on the community media, the research that was done. Where or how can we obtain that report? The quarter two, it says that external stakeholder consultations on possible community media support mechanisms. Can you give an indication how many consultations was done? Then there's a vacancy rate of 18 people, but there's an overspending on the salaries. But the achievement of these 72 people were 84%. Now, the overspending, is that because you make use of consultants? And then if these people actually do achieve, like with the 84%, is it really necessary then that they are on the organogram? Because it seems as if the department is actually doing not that bad without these 18 people, which is actually a large, or quite a few people that's not there to perform or participate. Page 22. It was mentioned that with Program 1 administration that 70% was overspent with 20%, and it was mentioned that it was for traveling, mostly for traveling. My question will be, what is the amount that is budgeted for actual operations, and how much are being allocated for traveling? My concern is just that in Program 4, on the same page, you see that the entity's oversight is only 48% that is being spent there. But it's overspent on the admin traveling. So my question is, would the priority not be to rather as a state on the other side. Then, page 31. It is mentioned that over 41 million was allocated to the adjusted budget for the DPT. And I would like you to just tell me what is the type of part of the DPT project to date, and have the delays in the immigration had any financial implication on this? Then I also want to know what is the status of the delegations with regard to the book costing amendment bill, and I want to know in how many, in which provinces was, or were the consultants, consultations held, and how many reports are there, and when will they be finally available, finalized and available. Are we first going to just do the DOC and then the...
If you may, ask all your questions.
Okay.
That would be helpful. Now we are going to decide.
Yes.
Okay.
Page 10. On the monitoring and evaluation produced, if that will be made available to us, or where can we obtain that? And then I also want to know how much of the budget is actually allocated towards operations, and how much of the budget compared to personnel. And then on page 23, I'm not clear about. Just check. Sorry for this. The external audit fees, if that can just be explained to me again, is that people that you, consultants that you get in, is there not that much function in the department? And is this a result, is it a result because of the vacancies? That's page 30. I'm almost done. Page 10, I asked whether the that report on the communication, the monitoring and evaluation, I ask if that is made available so that we can just see what's going on there. And then I ask on 30, and I'll stop with that. I just want to know about the external audit fees. Just something that bothers me. Just want to check 23 on the other section, if that's where the, on that page where the other question is. Sorry for this. Yes. Okay, that's the personnel. And then on page 23 on the second quarter, or the first quarter, I just want to have clarity there. I just want to clarify. It seems to me that the amount, the operationals and the personnel are. I just want you to explain to me information management and technology. What precisely is that? Information management. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mandation.
Well, thank you, and for honorable members of the department. Well, one was not around when the minister, as you indicated, gave an input. Because permit me to give a statement. I've indicated to the meeting that I've read the report prior to the meeting. And I'm convinced that there is progress in respect of the administrative process. And of course, some of the issues that the members of staff here have raised do indicate that. That, of course, are the monumental challenges we face as a country. And those include, well, of course, in the earlier political, the size of the department, which is, though extremely important, is faced with what, in my opinion, has relegated it to a major non-entity. I say that because of the, again, a political issue. You then must talk about the budget. It is basically impossible to talk about, you know, a major progress here, because the effect is nothing. I mean, from what they have indicated, from the kind of report that one has gone through, and that then takes us back as political parties. We must go and look into this thing. Because, like I'm saying, one has gone through this, yes, there is administrative progress, but then, on the other hand, there are this moment of challenges. In the earlier, the ones that are raised, and very many, of course, which one will raise when we go into a proper discussion. Now, the 2 points I have cited here, that is the issue of the size, amongst others, for example, to say the size of the department itself, that is, you know, a problem. We know where we come from. I mean, the GCIS, DOC, the division, and therefore, have this kind of a problem. Again, we've got to go back and have the whole thing looked into. But then that is not a position for this meeting. And as I indicated, Chairperson, when one started that, we may not be able to, in my own opinion, go on and have this thing. Now, my problems are two in the department. Number one, the issue of outsourcing. Yes, you talk about, and it is clear that the amount of money that you are getting, outsourcing, etc. I believe that that is extremely expensive and falls within the realm of unnecessary expenditure. I say that because, in my opinion, in the employment of person in the department, that is exactly what you need to look at. The people who will be able to, or who can be able to perform work in those particular areas which you believe have got to be looked into. And I'm not getting that. I have not really gotten that as I went on to look into this. Are we then able to look into that? Just like the second issue of research, you have indicated that you spent some money going on with research. And from then what I am looking at is that you go out for research in other areas that get persons who come in, do that, they get paid from that little amount of money that the Treasury gives, which I want to agree with Chairman that is actually not enough. Now, if you have got to go out and talk about research, etc., etc., get presence from outside, whereas people are supposed to be employed within the department to handle those particular areas. I believe really that that is a major a problem. Now, to further say, if a person were to ask a question, I mean, a non-South African, okay, come here and say, Minister, is this department necessary? I'm just throwing that. I'm throwing that because, as they reported, and as I read, the GCIS and DOC that they're same building working together, but then instead of using the same material, etc., etc., then this isn't the case. Now, are we then able to say something so that we then ourselves, if we've got to go to planners, rise and say, yes, it is proper that this department must go on, please give them more so that they can be able to move forward and do work for the people of South Africa. And to lastly say, through your chair, we have complained, and of course we still do, about what these fellows are doing, etc., etc., counting them and so on. The political power, I understand, ourselves here in Parliament. Are you, as a department, able, at the level that is of the administration, give direction so that we then are able to make sure that we are able to work together, we are able to take the country forward, we are able to take the department itself forward and make sure that we are able to indeed promote that which the people of South Africa have got to get. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Petition. Honorable Tachet.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Minister, thank you. Officials, thank you. I have to, unfortunately, attend another meeting in 10 minutes. If it's possible for my answer to be emailed to me, I'll really appreciate that. I humbly request from this committee to receive email documents. The last document I received by email was on the 15th of November. So I could not do preparations for this meeting, and it is, for me, my communication situation, impossible to prepare myself in the meeting while still attending to the meeting. If I can just receive all that on time and the outstanding ones. Just a question to GCIS. Talking about the electronic newsletter, et cetera, et cetera, can we as members receive that? Can we provide your email addresses? I would very much like to get my eyes on that. All the electronic documents that is open to the public. You also mentioned YouTube, obviously a video channel. And I'm referring here to the deaf community, that we can also automatically click onto a function of subtitling that information that is available on YouTube. There is a little function on that, a little dot, dot, dot function that one can click on to then access subtitling on a specific video. If GCIS could actually work on that, please, so that we can also do that. I'm very active on Facebook, so I get a lot of stuff from DOC and from the Minister, but I don't get it from GCIS. If you can just look at that, please. Thirdly, you spoke about the rapid response. What, I'm not clear about that, what exactly that is, but I would like to ask, in the same way, the relationship between GCIS asking that with the National Disaster Response. The reason why I'm asking, just recently, we had the flash floods in Gauteng. There were a loss of life. The question is, does GCIS work with the National Disaster Response teams in terms of communicating that to people? And then again, coming back to deaf people and the deaf community. Deaf community are very active in Gauteng. What response would they, or then should they get then in terms of preparing for this? As I said, I have to leave soon, and through you, Chief, I can request my questions just to be answered to me in writing. Many thanks, Chief. Thank you.
I'm not sure how soon, but I'm not sure how soon she will leave. But I want those questions to be responded to now, so that as she leaves, at least she did get responses. Only those. But also, there will have to be emails. Now, for a phone, but also later with email to her. I think, Minister?
Thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of the document she's referring to, the earlier one for the committee presentation, Chair, because we'll be able to do it. Because I had a reason that he's not receiving the comments earlier. Maybe the issue for the benefit of time, we can then respond to the other issues.
Thank you, Minister. Chair, Honorable Guardian, the electronic newsletters, certainly we will make those available. I'll liaise to the office and make sure that we get all the email addresses and send them to all the members. With the YouTube inserts, I wasn't aware of the special function around subtitling, but I'll brief my team looking to how to do it. And so what we'll do is we'll start making sure that we enable all the videos that we are shooting. On Facebook, we actually have Facebook pages for every province. So what we'll also do is I will give you the list of all our Facebook assets and a list of all the Twitter handles, and then you can choose from there which one you want to have access to. Rapid response is a system that we coordinate on behalf of government. What it does is it does an analysis of all the news stories that are in the media. The team starts looking around about 3:30 in the morning. Around about 10 to 6, they have got a summary of what are probably going to be the 10 or 15 news stories for the day. That gets sent out via email to the executive. And what we then do is we assess the impact that content has on South African citizens. And in a meeting at 8:30, it runs for an hour, 8:30 to 9:30, government develops responses to all of those issues that emerge from rapid response that we need to articulate government's position on. I also don't have a problem. Through the office, we can make sure that we get the email addresses and we can also share with you via SMS what those top 10 or 15 stories are. The National Disaster Response, what happens is that when there is a national disaster, in fact, one step back, we sit with the National Disaster Agency twice a year and we develop a communication strategy with them and we do scenario planning in case there's going to be a crisis. And then what we do is when a crisis actually does occur, we establish an operations room. In this instance, the operations room is led by COCTA, and we then coordinate all of the various components of the efforts to resolve that disaster from a communication perspective. So in the case of the flash floods in Gauteng, we worked with the Gauteng government, we worked with the National Disaster Agency themselves, emergency services, the first responders, the hospital, as well as the media in sort of greater Johannesburg. So you would have noticed that on our Twitter page, we would have been providing updates in terms of which homes to take, which homes not to take. We were giving tips to citizens on what to do if they are caught up in flash floods, and making sure that people are aware. Then we support COPTA as the coordinating department. So we'll do the media briefing, the walkabouts. The minister went into Alexandra to the interactive community. We were facilitating that through the provincial office in Gauteng. If you require more detail, usually what happens is when we've done an intervention and it's been completed, we publish an exit report. It takes about 3 weeks to compile it with all the inputs from everybody. And once it's signed off, I'm sure if you request that report, the minister would be quite happy to share. Thank you.
I hope Honorable Trafen, you are okay.
Thank you, Chair, for both presentations at DOC and GCIS. Just to start by commending DOC and GCIS, I think overall, Chair, I'm impressed by the fact that there is an overachievement of the targets by DOC and GCIS. The same applies to the payments of service providers in 30 days. To me, it's something commendable. There is an issue that you spoke about, Chair, which as well came out very sharply from the presentation, and I think the minister as well spoke about it. The issue of under-child funding that we have always been talking about. I remember in the last meeting we proposed the meeting with the National Treasurer to deal with this particular challenge. It's an issue that I think we need to prioritize somehow and make sure that it is attended to. Just to be specific, I want to start with GCIS. You will notice that with the program 2, there are some of your annual targets where you have just indicated 100%, which becomes a bit vague, because 100% of what you intended to do also becomes more gear when it comes to the budget. And I'm mostly concerned about two aspects, your key messages and the opinion piece. You'll see that it only becomes more clear when it comes to the variance. With the annual target, you just indicated 100%. So the question that always comes to your mind is 100% of what. You'll also see there's also one other aspect in Program 3. The 7% of people with disabilities, are most interested in knowing the level of those people, where are they, at what level are those people with disabilities from your presentation. You have 7% of the staff of people with disabilities. And the last one on GCIS, I think I appreciate the fact the work that you are doing in the area of language services. From your report, you have targeted to do 400 language services, but you have managed to do 459 translations, which to me is commendable, because I was asking myself until from the size of your staff, how are you able to do that particular responsibility. With DOC, Honorable Van Dyke earlier spoke about community media support. I think we appreciate the research, as he has indicated, but we'll appreciate if you can as well provide us with that response or a research report, so that at our level we are then able to also assist and make the necessary intervention. I see with female representation at SMS, you are almost at 50%, yes, but unlike GCIS, it's not very clear with disability, where are we? The same applies to the second last one, Chair. It's on your aging bucket post. I'm interested in knowing the level at which most of these vacant posts are. If you can, it can as well be clarified. The last one, Chair, is on the signing of accountability instrument, the non-signing by CASA. Before the presentation, I had a question as to why should the signing be a negotiated aspect of some sort with the CASA. But from the presentation, it becomes more clear that there are some issues that you have to be sorting with them. It's an issue that, from where I'm sitting, need to be attended to as a matter of agency, so that this particular area is attended to when the agency deserves. Thank you.
Thank you, Shem. And thank you for the presentation. In the OC document, I have not much more than I want to say in terms of the achievement. I'm not impressed. My follow-up question in terms of the 25 public awareness campaigns were carried out. I just want to know, is there any campaign after these 25 campaigns that I've done again that will continue for the future? In terms of the contract workers, how many of those workers and what is the duration in that contract? Is there any time frame in those contractors to be employed permanently? And also, really, Chair, I have nothing to say more than I can say no one really can build a temple in a one day, but there is a lot in the achievement. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dulles.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Chair, if I might start by the I wonder if we cannot make this happen for IKD. Just to get to hear of the minister, only place from the president is called. I'm not sure if we're surprised with the fact that we are running to the president. Therefore, if we emphasize the really aware of the fact that we are running, then there should be a plan. political office that then says, much as we are aware that we introduced a new department like the Department of Communication, and SIS maybe the older sister, we took a political decision for one minister to run the department. And our decision was plain to say at some given time, because I'm looking at the figures, and a great chunk of the department is going to be cut. For writers, not complaining about that, but I'm not sure if we're emphasizing on check. And as such, Chairperson, when we meet with the treasurer, I think they must advise us or inform us, because we can't go on and on like we are doing it every day. And no one takes into consideration to give an answer. Because you say it's underfunded, but the fact that there are two departments within one department, I'm not sure if it's really taken into consideration. Your official teacher will really request, once again, I know we'll put this and we've agreed on it, to say, let's meet with the treasurer. If they don't have an answer on the first question, because it's the first question that we need. Let them be for an answer from there, or if they cannot give us an answer, what is the book coming from saying about? So I would really want to us to preface the earlier question by starting by asking the fact. Say again that all my colleagues and staff are looking to the fact that we're quite impressed with the work that is being done in the department. And the report of inconsistency, we realize that there's a lot of effort that is taking place, because in some other areas we pick up some kind of cutting space, where we pick up that the president is not necessarily looking at what he said earlier on in terms of what is the current situation. You see,
the perception is somewhat the audiovisual. There's a sound across. So someone is intercepting our communication here.
Thank you very much. Even Jack does it. Okay, Mr. Chair, I really want to get an answer from the fact that there was a conference in Geneva, therefore there was costs that were not planned for. I'm not sure if we're given an answer there, because I'm sure we know a year later that we will be a conference for us. So there's a report today, and that is in the program one. The program that's our life. But I want the department to be
enough in a plate, but I can add just one or two. I think as a committee, we need to be very serious about this thing of underfunding of the department. I think there must be some action taken in relation to what we are hiring members. And looking at the for both DOC and GCIS, looking at what we are supposed to do towards 2030, we have national development plan here. So whatever we do, we must look at it and check if we are still on track. As individual departments, and communication and desire are part of those departments, so that we are not on stagnation in terms of that document. But I think we are doing fairly well. Looking at it, we are indeed cutting across the department. Have communication in terms of this document, the NDP. I was listening to GCIS and in their presentation in relation to information across the country. Providing information across the country. It was like I'm listening to an acting DG of Cuba. Because if you are listening to the DG of Cuba, he will then at the end say that there is no illiterate in the country. Because there is none in Cuba. But if you talk about YouTube, you talk about WWDs, acting DG, Twitter, and all those things, you're talking to the literate audience, which is not the case in South Africa. I'm comforted by the Isimbizo. Because critical in his visual traditional leaders, if you talk the bulk of the citizenry in the country out there in the grand areas. And surely talking to those people you then use their language. But apart from this in the visuals, how do they access the information? Because they won't access it to all these things you are talking about except radio. You have raised the radio. It's fine. But we must find a way of ensuring that we strengthen our communication so that it reaches those people who are in far flung areas, particularly rural areas, and people who are not who cannot read and write. So we must find a way of ensuring that we cover the country in terms of that, but you have done well, I must say, in terms of communication. Lastly for me, before last, because the issue I'm raising looking at what is our program beyond 2016 is quite critical. And we must play a very active role in terms of that as communication. Now, if you go to DOC, the finance person, it's raising on the page, because I noted it on page 8.
agenda. And again, if you anticipate what you are going to do, you will never go wrong. It is called planning ahead. We knew that we are going to have this. We are going to need transport and all of that. And at the end, you then hire cars that are very expensive. Those buses to go around our areas. And they're expensive than what you do when you have your home. And you are thinking of your home now. That's where the planning ahead for me comes from. Maybe you can also explain as to why there was no planning ahead. Honorable finance person. But I think generally, as we did, generally the department, both society and communication, have done well with operating with that kind of a budget. It's really a problem. I've said we must do something about it. We can't have a department of that size of budget and all of that. So we'll have to find a way. And members have said, look at it in treasury, but also look at it at the political head of government, so that we can elevate it to that level. Finance minister can tell us. We know what he will tell us, but I think it must be elevated above him, so that the department discharges its responsibilities with finance backing. Otherwise, thank you very much. We have done that during our debate. You will recall both Josias and DOC, we were very happy about you across political parties during our debate. Aninoma, Utomos Nome, must say you've done well and all. We did that. And I think what is left now is to say, how do we get money? How do we make this department a success? Because we need it. We can't operate. There is no government that can operate without a finance person. Because communications person, that person is also a propaganda person. And I can't forget the Minister of Communication and whatever of Iraq during the Operation Desert Storm, when they were completely taken over, he was saying, we are dealing with them. So that's how the communications person do. Even if you are on attack, you say we are on top of things. That's what that guy was saying. And the Americans were on top of them. And he was saying, don't worry, we're dealing with them. So we need that department so that we do have this propaganda. Thank you very much. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you, members. We always appreciate the feedback. And also this interaction with yourself and the makers and and we're going to stand not just relax, but I want you to under the following issues before the change technical issues. I want to start with Honorable Funding on the issue that she raised on the issue of the DTT project. I want to say upfront, as anyone, this project was intended to come, but it was not funded. I'm explaining.
fund. I mean, we only were just now received the 40 million during the adjustment period. And then we are not going to give you the budget spend as we were shifting funds from another program. But on the issue of the amount of STBs in the antenna, this comes from USASA through the Universal Services Fund. And I think in the annual report statement that we are still going to work with them, reported to that effect. But then the money that will be able to account is the one that we just got now on the 40 million. But remember, it's coming, it was the transitional period coming from the other department, then DOC, then that is the DPS. And then the project was officially ended over to us on the 31st of January 2015. My colleague, Honorable Matisha, I think we sincerely appreciate your wisdom on the issues that we face as both GCIF and DOC regarding the funding matters. But the issue is that you recall this department was the unit to advertise rather than the need for the department to have it. And I think it's an answer to that one. We can't be dwelling much on it. Because if you read the president's objective in establishing this department, that's where we get our mandate from. What happened? Because he wanted this organs to work together, that's where we found the FCP was taken away from the Home Affairs Department. GCIS was in the presidency then, in the Prime South Africa. And this other communication entities, ICASA, MDDA, and the FABC, then because they wanted also the other department to focus on the issue of telecom, so that it must be focused because there was a lot that was happening in that one department. And you know that in terms of the NDP, there is also the National Broadband Plan as a council issue that you are raising or that we say in South Africa. We should think that you are dealing with people who are connected, who have got access to telecom. Majority of our people have access to transmission because they are in rural areas. Some of them, when we interact with them, especially the young kids, they are those that have never seen a computer in their lives, those that have never watched TV in their lives. These are the reality of South Africa, and we should have to deal with that. So, ours was just to speed up, and then I want to repeat on the mandate that we need to also deal with the issue of media transformation in the country, and then the issue of the rollout of the migration program. But then, I think these issues, we've been raising them with the committee throughout on the issue of funding, to say it is underfunding. And that apply across the board, because normally the CFO will tell you, Treasury will always tell you we are operating in a very constrained fiscal. And then based on their prioritization, you say, then is this prioritization actually funding our political mandate? As you said, that the Honorable Chair Magistrate, this department is fully funded. In terms of us, then the outreach program, as you're saying, Honorable Chair, will be able to reach our people, and our people will be empowered. Because what we are dealing with now is a situation in our people are being misled. They rely on those that have information and those that have social media. And it's not the way our social media operates. Then the other people don't have access to information. And then it also put them in a very difficult situation, because if you're talking about youth unemployment today, there are young people, there's a lot of programs that are being that government has, but for kids at the rural areas to access those programs, unless somebody goes there physically, or yourself as MP, if you go there during your constituency work and start to share this information with these kids, they'll never have access to that. That's why we're saying on the issue of language is that through GCI, we're trying to do that sometimes. Even make sure that our documents as government, where possible, that is good impact on the empowerment of our people, we also then have to translate them in their languages. And then the IMISO program then becomes very key as well. And then we won't be able to do outreach without money. I'll quote a critical example of how we're dealing with our digital migration campaign awareness program. There's no consultant who has been hired or a marketing agency to do that for us. What we then just employ those young people there, and then we send them to provinces. And then we've been having engagement now with the municipalities that we're getting the buy-in to say, through their work committees and their structures and the provinces, then we'll be able to use that infrastructure to then use to campaign so that we increase the awareness. But in a normal functional environment, because I was the one to raise it to tell example, if you talk about GCIS, you just only go to ESCOM, for instance. Their communication budget are not on their goods and everything. It's over 800 million just for the entity of government. That's how we allocate funds. But you check how GCIS is funded. It's 422 million. That includes for them to communicate, to convey all the messages on behalf of government, also to run their assets. I think on that allocation, that's why I was very excited when Treasury was being called, so that how do they allocate money and also how do they fund the political mandate. Because, and the issue that we have done the communication strategy for the council, to say this is the communication strategy, but there's funding challenges. But you find that entities in various departments, they've got, like, I'll give you a typical example here, Sandra's budget as well. Sandra's is an entity in the Department of Transport. It has got over 700 million only for communication, apart from the other money. But then you have to tell you the department that needs to communicate, print, leaflets. There's no funding, just 423 million. They must pay staff, they must do all sorts of things. So then, the communication budget for GCIS, if we have to talk about, 7.2 million, of which 5.6 is spent on the State of the Nation address policy. And then, you expect GCIS then to communicate the government messages. That's the reality that we're dealing with to say then. Maybe, as we've been saying since we've been established, we've raised this since our establishment to say funding is a challenge. And then the other issue that happens, because the allocations are done, you find that the junk of money goes to our entities. Of late, we've been requested, we said to Treasury, we see, like you've raised the issue, because the country's got more money. Then, can we then reprioritize the entities so that it gives us also money as a department? That's the request that we made to Treasury that goes, because we're also reprioritizing within the entities. That request was never granted to us. These are the situations that we deal with. And then, so that's why I say on the problematic. I don't think I need to agree with you to say whether, but I understand the premise from which you're saying the relevance of the ministry. I think we just want to compelling reasons to say why should we defend this. But I must say to you up front, since our establishment, I think we have then tried to implement our mandate with less and with nothing at all at times. And then we are able to account for every spend, for every cent spent. We have done that, you know, that is the department. I think it's that issue that we need to raise. But the issue of funding, I think we still plead with this this committee to make sure that you address those, you help us address it. Because it's you at the end of the day that appropriates the money as parliament. Then on the issue of the MDP checks that we have raised earlier, we are responsible for outcome 14 as a department in implementing the MDP. And then we are responsible together with, but that outcome 14, that way we have also signed our performance contract with the president in making sure that we implement the NDP. And then our mandate is to inform, disseminate information about government programs and projects. So that's why I agree with you, Chairman. INDISA program is part of our DNA. That's the only way that we do it. That's why we spend most of our time as the Minister, Deputy Minister, in communities, advocating for communities to take advantage of the information that government is doing. We do that with the resources all the time. But then the other issues, I think, the officials will deal with them if they are not adequately addressed. But I must also say up front, say, when we establish this department, we don't need consultants from our part as a department, the ministry, or a head department. He will have to respond to the issue of the research that he raised. But we've mentioned, even on the establishment of the department itself, normally people hire consultants who understood the limited resources that we do. Most of the things we have to do ourselves, like now, there are no positions that are, so we told not to create any vacancies. But you force officials to do what extra.
commitment, we still receive a limited resources that we are able to show the commitment also on the officials. But the rest, I think, the two issues we deal with them as and when they are follow up issues, we will be able to respond to them.
Thank you, Minister. I'll respond quickly to the issues that you raised. Honorable Fandeke, will be that report on the GCME, the monitoring and evaluation report that assesses government communications projects. And I'm quite sure that the Minister will be happy to share that report. We don't have any issue with it. Regarding IMNT, the Information Management and Technology area of the GCIS, it provides various services. Firstly, it is the infrastructure, IT infrastructure backbone that connects all of our 11 offices. So we have a single server that operates from Pretoria, and all of our information is archived in that center. And people dial in to access information. It supports our video conferencing facilities, and the video conferencing is between the press facility that is here in Parliament, as well as the press room that is in Pretoria. So we're able to bring broadcasters to come and carry all of our media briefings. That is supported by IMNT, but it also has an important role. They actually develop software. So the infrastructure, for example, we have a portal that we've developed for government communicators. It has key messages, the government program, all of these programs are housed on this portal. We developed it in-house. The one regret is that we have not been able to sell the things that we developed so that we can monetize some of the work. But everything that we do from software development all the way through to maintenance of IT is done in-house. The research data, Honorable Madisha, if I can just very briefly talk about this. We run a tracker study. It's been running now for about 14, 15 years. And you will see in both departments, we have targets that relate to outcome 14. And in it, we assess the mood of the country. That research is, we're not able to do it ourselves physically. We have research service providers that run omnibus studies throughout the whole country. They ask citizens a battery of questions. So what do you think about A, B, or C? And we collate all of that information. We do the analysis, we package the information, and we put it into our strategies, our communication strategies. So we are able to determine, for example, if we are doing a project for the Department of Health, because it's going to be World AIDS Day on the 1st, we will know after World AIDS Day what is the tonality of the messaging, did people understand what we were trying to communicate, and then we would ask them exactly what were the key messages. So what do you remember from the communications? Was it abstinence? Was it a message about checking your CD4 count, or so we're able to go and actually refine our messages. What we have done due to cost constraints, we used to do this study 3 times a year. We are now only doing it 2x a year, so we're doing it once every 6 months. I think you would agree with me that it's probably not adequate because this is a very dynamic country. Things change quite quickly. Ideally, we should have stayed to 3, but we can only afford 2. What we have done in response is to then go as GCIS to bid for research work. So the research that helped to develop the back to basics interventions that were implemented by COPTA, for example, was done by GCIS. They commissioned us to manage the entire research project, to analyze the data by municipality, and then to go and inform them what the results were so that they can integrate it into their intervention plan. As part of the interventions in the 20 hotspots that have been identified.
So we provide them with information and it gives us a revenue stream, because what we are able to do is then we are able to charge the department a management fee, because we are the ones who are managing the entire research project and doing the analysis of the data. The interesting thing is that we still, even though we are procuring a service provider, we still are cheaper than if the department goes and procures it directly on their own. And our own perspective is that because we understand government programs better than third-party suppliers, we are able to give a much better quality product. So I'm quite sure the colleagues at COPTA will be happy to share that information when we present the Back to Basics program, what was the value of the research interventions. Honorable Thierry, on program two, I just wanted to talk about the 100% target. There are two ways of setting targets. Either you set targets based on historical data. So you would know that in the last financial year, there were so many requests, and then you would go in and you would make a projection about what is likely to happen in the future. And you would do that, say, you could say the population in South Africa is growing at 3%, so it would be a realistic assumption to say then demand for our services will grow at 3%. So that's the one model. The second model is to go and say the services that we provide, we don't know how many they are going to be in the future. We can't predict them with certainty, but we do know that we will fulfill all of the requests that we get. So when you see where the target is 100%, what it means is that GCIS has made a commitment that that is an important service. And any department that requests our assistance, we're going to do all it takes to fulfill that commitment. So key messages is a good example. We don't know next year what the communication environment will be like. So we are not sure what key messages we must develop next year, because we don't have the issues yet. But we can guarantee you today that whatever emerging issues are going to come up next year, GCIS is going to develop key messages, because that is part of our mandate and it's important in making sure that government communication is coherent. So we will honor it. We just aren't able to tell you, will it be five more key messages next year than we do have. In terms of the 7% component of our staff that are disabled, I don't have the exact levels, but I can tell you that the most senior person is a chief director. But in terms of the areas of competence, these people are working in finance, in supply chain management, in the communication service agency, specifically the video unit, as well as in content processing and dissemination. So they are across the organization and will bring you the actual designations so that you have those on record. I think the minister has spoken eloquently on the language services. I won't dwell on that. But Honorable Machoba, on the public awareness campaign, it's an ongoing activity for us. It's based firstly on the government calendar. So the 12-month calendar has firstly national days. So all the national days are in there. And then each department is going to have key milestones. So there's the Department of Water. We know next year there's going to be National Water Week. So we will develop campaigns for National Water Week, talking to a variety of issues around service delivery on water matters. There are reports, and in fact, it's a matter of focus for the executive, and the executive has made a commitment that over the next 5 months, they're going to heighten their communication activities. So it's an ongoing program. It's not a once-off. I think Honorable Solasha also asked about the door-to-door and the activation. We do report on these on a monthly basis with a great amount of detail, to the point where we provide photographs and capture what are the interventions in each of the areas where we have these activities. Those monthly reports are presented to the minister so that she's able to interact with her counterpart. Because often, when we do these door-to-door interactions, when citizens interact with the minister, they bring the issues that are relevant to them in the community. So we don't look at the Minister of Communications and only bring up communications issues. They will talk about a variety of glitches in service delivery. So we have to equip the minister to then assist the follow-ups, to go to Home Affairs and say, I was in this community. They are looking for IDs. There's a problem because they are not able to get services from the closest town. So the reports are there so that we can actually assist the minister to intervene in that way. I do accept, Chairperson, we need to look at how we are communicating better in rural areas. It's something that we are quite focused on. And I can tell you that face-to-face works best in those environments. Because we have more time, we can dedicate time. And what we've done with the Inviso program is we've now developed what we call a mobile Inviso program. So we will take government departments to rural areas, set up marquees, and they are there for the duration of the day to interact with consumers, run workshops with citizens, so that people understand how we actually, how to access those services. It is ongoing, but I think given the budget constraints, what we've done is we've tried to invest in the physical infrastructure, the Tucson Service Center, in partnership with municipalities, so that at least people can travel to fewer places, because we can't afford to take these mobile operations around the country. Thank you.
Thanks to all the members and the minister, the deputy minister. I think the minister has already dealt with some of the questions. Honourable Funder, we can make that such report on the community media available to the members. I think it also touches to what Honourable Taylor have also asked about that report. I think just to add to what Minister said around DTT, when we received the project, there was no funding at all, and the expectation was that the minister or the ministry has to deliver the project and so on. What we then did was to look within the little mind that we had, you know, to be able to get people in the first place. That's where we were able to get people on contract so that we can get the work going around that. Even with the 41 million that has been given now, is money to spend between now and end of March. End of March, there's no funding that the travel is allocated. I think the CFO will touch to that. So we're back to square one as from the 1st of April. So we wanted a permanent solution to the problem. As the minister has indicated, we looked at our allocation within the vote so that we can check money within from our entities. And we did find the money, so we could secure that money. So I think the funding of this critical project remains a serious risk for us going forward. And I think the last issue that I will address, there was a question from Honorable Matisha around our capacity to manage the entities in S12. I think what one of the things that the minister asked us to do as officials was to look at the model that we are going to be using to provide oversight in our entities. And I think in that regard, we were able to develop what we call an entity oversight policy for the department, which gives us how then do we relate to our entities. I think in that policy, part of implementation is to ensure that there is a constant engagement between the minister, the political, the executive authority, and the boards. That has been happening through bilaterals all the time.
And at the same time, we also establish technical teams which will support the work that comes from the executive authorities, the boards, and the accounting authorities, wherein the DG and the CEO, they will meet in process matters. The CFOs of the, all the entities, they meet and, you know, also deal with financial matters and things that are coming from the AG, you know, the AG report and all of those things. But we also looked at the company secretaries forum, where in all the company secretaries, they also meet with the team so that they can be able to look at the governance matters, you know, that are emanating from the entities. And also encourage entities to share best experience around some of those issues. And then we've got another one that deals with the policy and regulatory matters. Where we've got a policy issue, it's not an issue of the department, but we look at it within the portfolio as it were. So I think from our side, we have put that, those measures in place so that we're able to detect challenges if they may arise and be able to alert the executive authority around some of the things. So that policy, I think, is it's doing quite well for quite for us. I think the CFO will deal with all the financial related matters, if you allow. Thank you, CFO.
Thanks,
as program one, not as program four, that is
problem one, are given extra functions to perform because of the limited funding. As a result, that's why you see this correlation that the traveling accommodation and whatever is more and becomes the driving force in terms of our operation. The other issue that was asked is that how much did we spend today in terms of the GTC? For the current last year, for the GTC, the money that was spent was 13 million. That included compensation of employees. Today, as we are speaking, the end of September on GTC, including compensation of employees, we have spent around 12 million. And that is as a result of making sure that the people that are on the people that were appointed on contract were appointed for a year to run this project so that we can meet the future date which was due with that including those. That's why our future project has been so when we are discussing with each other about the importance of this project, even given the broader goal that we are given to achieve as a country, they said we will make sure that we fund this project until the 2019 when the project must start working. But the challenge we have is that the contract people that we have appointed to deal with this project, because of the DPSA new regulations that only contract people must be appointed for 12 months, we are faced with a dilemma now that we cannot appoint them permanently because the project must come to an end in 2019. But the risk we are running is that if we have to terminate and bring new people in the system, that's the mechanism we are trying to negotiate with the Treasury and DPSA to say, can we have these people until 2019 when the project ends and we terminate their contract for good, and therefore we can take that money forward and see whether we'll be given money for compensation of employees or to continue with the project, people to absorb them in the system. But there's no way we can absorb them in the system when the compensation unit is being given the way it is at the moment. So unfortunately, when the project comes to an end, we are forced to terminate those things and we increase unemployment on the other end because it will lead to job losses and so on. So that is the challenge we face in terms of the GTC project. But to add on the Honorable Malisha's thing that the DC has said on governance matters to make sure that how do we manage the entity? We have arrived at a mechanism that our entities, when they are documents to be submitted, either to the minister or to national treasurer, they are not submitting on their own. All their documents come through the department, and the department do the consolidations and make sure that whatever document goes to treasurer is a departmental document. It's not a tender. There's no entity that can go and speak for itself at national treasury without the department. So the department has institutionalized those mechanisms in terms of governance matters to make sure that we are all at one and we know where we are going. That's hence the reason why we were able even to sit with our entities to say, because we have shortage of funding in the department, can we cut on the funds that we have as entities and make sure that there is extra money given to the department? And there were cooperatives, we have done that exercise, we raised around 200 million, and we have submitted to treasury to say, we are not coming here to looking for extra money. We have done the reprioritization within our own book. It's just the issue of shifting from transfers and giving to the department to make sure that we are able to hire the necessary people and make sure that we are able to run the project of the department. But we couldn't get an approval to that effect. So as a result, those entities are now sitting with that money that they have identified to give to the department, and they must see how they spend it on the other one. And I was asking the chancellor to say, if you are saying we must go and identify the first and cut, while we have done that, you are still giving that money to entities. What does that mean? When we are cash constrained and we don't have money. And that's the debate that we are having, because The risk we are running now is that we are being given 41 million now to
yes.
revoke.
Why not?
We are being given money now during the adjustment budget. So the challenge becomes to say, we can't even plan for next year because this money must be spent by the 31st of March. What will happen to this project in the coming financial year? So it means even the number of awareness campaigns, we must be treated in terms of the allocated budget that we are given in the next financial year, which poses a challenge in terms of the spending of the budget. But lastly, to come to the question you have raised on the proper planning of how to buy cars and whatever, it's only when you are guaranteed money that you can plan properly because you know how to put the maintenance of those vehicles and so on. And it's only when we have received this 41 million that we said, because it's costly for us to rent these cars when you do door-to-door services and all these other things. We are paying too much, we are being costed.
Now
money is guaranteed for us to buy the cars now. We will buy those cars for the project. It's meant for the project. And we have agreed with National Treasury that when the project comes to an end, those cars will be auctioned and the money will go back to the National Treasury.
Members, now I'm using my watch. Now it's 1:30. And we are going to the house at 2. We don't provide lunch here. Can we agree that we stop here? Other question, there are emails and stuff, so that can be done. Members, in terms of the program, we're supposed to meet on Friday. We cannot. We are deferring the deliberations on FPP to the next term, which is next year. So we'll have to do that. It's towards the end of the year. There are so many things that we do. So we won't be able to do that. So we're taking up that for Friday. Thank you very much, Minister.
Chair, can I just make one request? Chair, can we request the office of the minister and our conduct advisor to develop the two page document as facts on why we should, the facts that we can use when we've met with the treasurer. There are hardcore facts here, Chair. That we must use in pursuing what we have agreed upon earlier on to say, here are the facts. Well, sometimes, departments, they play their own games because they are themselves citizens anyway. If you can have that, 2 pages or 2.5, just to make sure people send some story about that.
That's all right. That's what we'll do, members. Tell the minister, thank you, deputy minister. I like the Hollywood, SNDGs and the finance people, and thank you very much, members. You have done well. The meeting is adjourned. Government is using 10 minutes and that.
Okay.